They come to the foul on Poland now. Palace Pier and Frankie Dettori have the advantage. Sobotka and Lopi Fernandez giving chase in second and third places. It's a two-length lead for Palace Pier. Races towards the line, and Palace Pier is the winner of the Queen Anne. Lopi Fernandez in second. Sobotka, Lord Glitter's...
It was the start to the Royal Ascot Carnival that most people had expected. Maybe not as easy as some had expected, but for Frankie Dettori, it was another major. The Queen Anne Stakes to Palace Pier, who many consider the best horse over a mile in the world. Although there was another performance a little later that I'll play for you in a moment in the St. James's Palace Stakes with Poetic Flair that may have thrown down the gauntlet. Andrew Hawkins had a long night watching all the action from Royal Ascot, and he joins me this morning. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, a little bit tired, as you'd expect, Michael. but look, it's Royal Ascot week. That's what we expect, and it's worth it to be able to get up to some of these races. And as you say, some of those performances last night, we're going to be in for a treat next month at Goodwood when we get to see Palace Pier take on the St. James's Palace Stakes winner, who we'll talk about in a moment.
Yeah, well, let's play that replay now, because that's Poetic Flair, and... Well, he was simply stunning. The 2,000 guineas winner, he was an iron horse, and he absolutely obliterated them last night.
But it is Poetic Flair who has shot clear inside the final furlong here with Kevin Manning, leading by three lengths to Lucky Vega Battleground. Maximal behind those. He's been busy. He's very talented. He's very tough. Poetic Flair has won in great style. Lucky Vega just second to Battleground.
Summed up really well in the call. Poetic Flair, who was in another class. And Lucky Vega, a good run for the soon-to-be Victorian stallion, running second in that race as well. Who were you most impressed with last night? Poetic Flair winning the St. James's Palace, or Palace Pier and the Queen Anne?
Oh, I have to say Poetic Flair. I'm still not convinced about the strength of the three-year-olds yet, but there have been some good performances there, and so I'm really excited to see the clash, which will likely take place in the Sussex Stakes at Goodwood next month. So hopefully get to see both of them go there, and it's going to be a mouthwatering clash, probably one of the races of the season there. I mean, the thing is, with Jim Bolger, who trains Poetic Flair, he's trained plenty of very good horses throughout his career. Teofeo, A New Approach. He was also the original trainer of Twilight Payment. So, you know, he's seen some good horses, but I don't think he's seen one quite as good through his yard as Poetic Flair, who's managed to run in four Group 1s in 45 days there in Europe, and travel all around Europe, you know, going across back to Ireland, going to France. Just an iron horse, and really exciting to see what he can do for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's unheard of what he's been able to do. It's quite remarkable for the 79-year-old Jim Bolger. And the other Group 1 was the King's Stand. Batash was the favourite, but he just ran out of steam.
Oxted begins to fly down the wide outside as they race inside the final 50 yards. It is Oxted now who comes through to lead, and Oxted has given Kieran Fallon his first win at the Royal Meeting. It was Oxted who won. It was very tight second. Arecibo may have just got
It was
second.
Pretty easy in the end for Oxted, and Batash just laboured the last 100. Is that the kind of handing of the mantle over now for Batash as the leading sprinter in Europe?
Look, I think it's a little early to say. The only reason being that, as I said yesterday, Batash has always struggled with that fifth five furlongs. He did win last year, but he'd been beaten by Blue Point the 2 years before that. And especially coming into it fresh off that setback over the winter, I think he was entitled to be beaten yesterday. He gets to a race like the Nunthorpe at York coming up in a few weeks' time, August or so. And I just get the feeling that if he can hold his form and take a step forward, which he will from that first up run, he's probably still the one to beat in the Nunthorpe. A horse like Oxted, he was already a Group 1 winner. He won. He'll probably go the July Cup again this year. So he'll probably go a different path. But I think for Tash, I wouldn't be too concerned. I think he'll be okay come the Nunthorpe.
Had a bit of everything day one, from the superstar favourites that managed to win, 50-1 shots winning, Holly Doyle winning the last race, and William Buick given an 11-meeting suspension or ban for excessive whip use. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I thought that was that one was a little strange because it was not just the excessive whip use, but it was also the fact that apparently he'd raised the whip in an awkward manner. I'd have to go back and watch it again because it did seem a little bit strange. I mean, I know that they're obviously cracking down on whip use, but I'm not quite sure about that one. And also, it raises the question that we've had here before as well, where the margin was a short head, and could there have been grounds there for an objection by the second horse, MC Muldoon? So. Look, that's an interesting one, but yes, it did have a bit of everything. Unfortunately, not the right 51 shots for winning. But look, you know, the two that I liked at long odds last night ran well. One was checked at about the 300. The other made ground late and finished just on the heels of the place getters. So you can't be too disappointed if they're running well. But we need to get one into the placings, if not into the winner's stall.
Well, the good news is. We do it all again tonight because day two, and there is some very big fields on day two. There's just the one group one, and this isn't one of those large fields, but there's certainly a lot of quality in the Prince of Wales Stakes where we get to see Armory take on Lord North and Love. Who do you like?
Yeah, it's a very good race, and it was also supposed to have a day of until the ground just was going to be too firm, and so that would have been quite something to see Lord North, Armory, Love, and a day of, and to really get a line for the Australian form through those horses up there. It is a tough one because Armory was really impressive on his return. He looked probably a superior horse to what we saw last season throughout, including in the Cox Plate. Love, we haven't seen this season, but she was winning by big margins last year in races like the Oaks and the Yorkshire Oaks. And Lord North won this race last year and also went to Dubai and managed to win the Dubai Turf. I'm siding with Lord North, but again, there's not much between the three of them. And this is one of these races where you'd just love to see the three of them stride up at the furlong and it'd be anyone's race. Because it looks that sort of race on paper.
We talk a lot about the depth at the top end here in Australia with some of the older horses. What's the depth like over in the UK? Because I know there's a lot of trainers with these up-and-coming three-year-olds saying we're not scared to try and take on the older horses.
It's exactly the same, actually. I think that there's been a real lack of depth at the top level there for a while. And you see it in different divisions at different times. If you look at the Queen Anne Stakes for the last couple of years, for instance, not necessarily this year, Palace Pier looks a genuine good horse, but the Queen Anne's probably looked a little bit weak for the last couple of years. The Prince of Wales Stakes tends to get a small field each year. You know, you do get your stayers who seem to bob up season after season, but those, especially up to your 2,000 metres, who are likely to be retired earlier due to either going to stud or their shift across to Hong Kong, it does leave that missing link at the top. And as you say, it's something that's talked about here, but it's just as much the case over in the UK.
So current tab fixed odds have Love $2.30, Lord North $3.10, Armory $4.20. What would be your play?
Oh, that's again an interesting market. I mean, Love for me is probably too short of that quote. Armory is a good price there. I mean, Lord North is the one that I've put on top, and at that price, the 310, I'd probably take the 310. But I would have expected Armory to be shorter. I would have expected Love to be longer than that. So, that's going to be a very interesting battle. It's worth waiting up for that race this evening.
What else on day two are you keen to play?
Yeah, good little card this. My best bet comes up in the second race. It's the Queen's Bars. It's a race that's been won by the likes of Stradivarius in the past. Hartnell even won this race before he came out for Godolphin. And the thing with the market here is that Aidan O'Brien's won five of the last eight, so Aidan's runners are quite short. But I'm actually going for a horse from the stable of Mark Johnston, who did win this race with Hartnell. He's got a horse here called Dancing King. He's won all four starts as a three-year-old. He was gelded between two and three. I really liked his effort last time out. He really flew home quite nicely and managed to win, beating a horse called Kondo Asami, who we'll see later in the week. And he's actually Zoo Star's half-brother. And another horse called Olympic Theatre, who I think you'll be hearing plenty more of down here, but that's a conversation for another day. I think that for mine, we'll be seeing Dancing King winning. He's actually quite a good price when I last looked. He was about 9-1, 10-1. So if you can get that sort of price, I think that's an absolutely fantastic price in race two about Dancing King.
Yeah, he's $9.53.10 tab fixed odds right now. So that's a nice play in race two, the Queen's Vase number three. Get on quick before the hawk snaps up all those odds. Who else are we backing tonight?
Well, race five is also another interesting race in that you've got the Royal Hunt Cup. This is the closest equivalent they've got to a Doncaster. Big field handicap, 30 horses take to the 1600 metres there at the Ascot, and it's a straight mile there as well. There's a horse in here who's actually raced in Australia before. His name's Pete Le Bon. He finished sixth in the first Golden Eagle behind Colding. That form has actually stood up pretty well, that Golden Eagle form from that first year. And you look at some of the horses who finished behind him, Classic Legend and Brutal, and horses of a really top-notch calibre down here. So Beat Le Bon goes to a handicap rather than going to the 1600 metres Queen Anne Stakes, and I just feel he looks really well-suited here. He hasn't won since coming to Australia, so that's almost 18 months now, but he hasn't raced that many times, and it just is going to depend on where the race develops. As you can imagine, 30 runners, they go to both sides of the track, and it really just depends who's able to take enough horses into the race. It's really a matter of luck. But if they do come down the far side, which is very possible given they came down the stand side yesterday, then I think that Beat Le Bon is worth a play there in the Royal Hunt Cup.
All right. So he ran about 25-1, I think, isn't he?
That was when I last looked. He was about 20-1. I'm not sure what he is now, but if you can get a good price about Beat Le Bon, I think he's the one to be backing there.
All right, that's number seven in the Royal Hunt Cup. Now, you are the racing manager for Highclere Racing. Now, Highclere have Ascension in that race, and they also had a runner earlier in the program. What are you making of the Highclere runners this evening?
Yeah, so we've only got the one runner tonight, Ascension. The concern with Ascension is that he needs softer ground than he's likely to get. He did win quite nicely last time out, but just the ground, it's good to firm there, and I think that's going to be just too firm for him. Again, he's a nice horse. He's a horse who I think can perform well, and I can see that he's had a little bit of support over in the UK, but I think it'll probably be a little bit too firm for him. But look, the good thing for Highclere is that we've got our better runners coming towards the end of the week, and in particular Thursday, Friday, we've got probably our three best chances coming up, one on Thursday and two on Friday.
I like that. We'll be looking forward to that. I did note in the Windsor Castle Stakes tonight, there is an Australian connection, and it is beautifully named. There is a horse called Boonie, which runs in the Seymour Bloodstock colours. Kevin Ryan is the trainer. Do you give Boonie by Brazen Bow out of Dice Game a chance tonight?
I do think the Boonie is a chance, actually. Look, these American fillies for Wesley Ward are going to be very hard to beat. Ruthen is the favourite currently. She was a big winner at Keeneland on debut at her first start. And the interesting thing with her is that she beat a horse called Artos, who actually goes around earlier in the evening. So we'll have an idea of the form there. And then you've got Golden Bell, who's actually my selection in the race. She won on dirt first time out at Keeneland. The thing with these American fillies is that they've generally got more speed than the UK fillies. They're trained for speed. They're quick from the gates. They tend to take it up. And they've just got so much natural speed that the UK horses don't have. That said, I do think that if there is going to be a UK winner, I think it will be Boonie. As you said, Kevin Ryan trains. Adam Kirby, the Derby-winning jockey, rides. He ran really well at Musselburgh last time out. Was only just nabbed in the final stride, and I get the feeling a big field will really suit. I feel like just will be able to travel really strongly. And the thing is, will be one of the horses that's really suited by the Americans going hard out in front, because we'll just be able to get in behind them. And I think we'll really appreciate having something to chase.
All right, Hawk, we'll be looking forward to day two this evening. Are they all the bets we should be having? Is there anything else you like?
No, I think that's it. The other races, as I say, the Americans, I think, will probably likely win races one and six. If there were a couple of each-way plays, the other two races we haven't talked about, the Duke of Cambridge Stakes is race number three. There's a filly in there called Lavender's Blue, who's owned by Benny Anderson of ABBA fame. He actually bred and races her, and I think she's a really nice filly who is really capable on her day. Lady Beaufort's too short for mine, so I'd be having Lavender's Blue each way. And then in race seven, it's a new race this year, the Kensington Palace Stakes, and there is a filly in there called Lola Showgirl who ran okay last time out. She won a race at it was at York, but it was an amateur riders race. This is a step up, but look, you know, winning form is good form, and I don't think they've found the bottom of her. So Lavender's Blue race three and Lola Showgirl each way in race seven are the two each way plays that I've got for this evening. But yeah, I think look, Beat Le Bon is probably the main one, and the best bet is Dancing King race two.
We love it. Hawk, we'll put all of those selections up on rsn.net.au. We'll also tweet them out. Good punting tonight. Good luck with the Highclere team. We'll catch up tomorrow.
Sounds good, Michael. Look forward to it.
Also looking forward to trying to get hold of Harry Herbert. We might have a chat to Harry tomorrow as well from Highclere. So it'll be good to have a chat to the boss as well.